Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Hey friends, welcome back to Ever Be and happy New Year's Eve. It is December 31st. Can you believe it's literally the last day of the year? I can't because I feel like December just flew by so fast. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, although I'm sure you do. Because that's always what happens, doesn't it? With like the holidays and everything. And this year, especially for our family, is like such an exciting time of year because we have Christmas, of course, everybody does. A week later, right, we have New Year's Eve. And then starting on usually on December 31st, we're setting up our Seek booth. And then on January 1st starts Seek. And that's the first week of the year. It's 5 days of a Catholic conference. And it's so incredible. We go every single year. It's a perfect way to kick off your year. So we're literally traveling there today. And then we have 5 days of Seek. And then usually on the last day of Seek is my birthday, January 5th. And so it's like back-to-back holidays, celebrations, conference, just like back-to-back like big events going on. And then usually I feel like after Seek and then after my birthday is when I feel like I can actually start the year. And one thing that I think is hilarious is given that I feel like in a lot of senses, a pretty type A person. And I love Mondays and I love new months and new beginnings. I think it's very fitting. I was born in January and I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord I was born in January because I love starting off a new year with like also a new year in my life. It just feels like very fitting for who I am and it just helps me start the year off right. So that's coming up. But this whole last week in between Christmas and New Year's, Trey and I have been sitting down to plan out our 2026. We do this every year, but we don't usually get to do it until after Seek. So usually like mid-January. And we always feel like slightly behind on that. And it kind of feels like we can't start our new habits until like end of January, beginning of February, basically. So I'm so glad this year we had a couple days between Christmas and New Year's and Seek to sit down, strategize, family plan, set goals, business, strategizing and planning, all the things, right? We basically spent like 3 days straight, like for the bulk of the day, sitting down, having these big conversations, writing stuff down and making plans and goals and dreaming and praying about 2026. And today I kind of want to share a blueprint, if you will, of how you can do this in your life. So I shared just so briefly a little bit about it on my story and got so much engagement and so many questions about how do I do this? I never plan for the new year and I really want to. I don't know how to get my husband on board. Can you create some sort of blueprint for us? So this is my first step of helping you guys in this area and creating a resource. If I have time with Seek, things get a little crazy, but I might do it over Seek. If I have time, I'll put this blueprint into like paper so that you can like print it out and it'll be free. Like you can just print it out and I'll email it to you. And then you can use this as a template for you and your family to sit down and plan for the coming year. And we do this every year and it helps us so much kind of get into a good mindset for the new year and to be really honest with ourselves about like, what did we not love about the years past and what bad habits have we gotten into? What did we kind of let the ball drop on that we wish we didn't have? It just gives us a whole fresh start and it gives us time to have a really honest reflection with ourselves, which I think is so important. I think people focus way too much on like new year, new me, new goals, and they don't reflect on the year to think like to actually process through like what didn't work, what don't I love about myself right now, what don't I love about my lifestyle. Because first you have to edit that before you can like build a new life. You know what I mean? Like you can't build a new life on top of your old life that's not working for you if there are things that are not working for you. And pretty much every year, there's things that are not working for me because we're imperfect humans, right? So everybody has things that they need to shed before we begin the new year. So I always encourage this kind of honest reflection with yourself before you dive into goal setting and dreaming. And another thing I want to say is people often ask Trey and I, like, how do you do it? How are you? And this is not to toot my own horn, okay? This is because I want to help you, right? And these are things people really say to us. How have you done so much in your 20s? Like, how have you been so successful? And how do you guys, you know, meet all these goals and travel and are able to do these home projects and grow your business? And like, we do a lot in our personal lives as well. We host a lot. We lead different like Bible studies or small groups. Like people are always like, how do you do it all? One, by the grace of God, right? Okay. We got to give glory to God. The Lord is the center of our lives and we try and just have him lead the way and follow his promptings. Two, we don't have kids yet. And so our capacity is more than those who don't have kids. But three, I think it comes from our end of the year or beginning of the year goal planning, setting, and reflection that I just talked about. Because we actually take the time several days to reflect and to plan, we take our goal setting seriously. We don't take it as like, oh, this is just like a fun thing I want to do in 2026, like wish list, you know? Like, no, we like put our goals into action. Like we look at each other and we're like, what is our big list of dreams and goals for personal life and for business? What of those is realistic? Where do we put them on the calendar? And we literally put dates to them on our calendar. We look at a year spread and we go, this goal is going to happen on this month. And so then we know, what do we need to do the months leading up to meet that goal, right? Like we set a plan to meet those goals. And that I think is a foundational reason of why so many of our goals have come true since we got married in our 20s. And it is just such a beautiful way to work as a team in our marriage and be alongside each other, dreaming and working towards our goals together that the Lord has put on our hearts. So I'm really excited to dive into this with you guys. Hopefully it'll be a resource. I think by the end of the year, a lot of us want to do something like this, but we're so full of mixed emotions, relief, gratitude, exhaustion. Honestly, a little bit of emotional clutter, maybe a little bit of paralysis, and you just don't know how to start the new year in the best way. And so we just decide to kind of like just brush it aside and start as if it was any other day, right? Right. The end of the year, I feel like, always has a way of bringing kind of everything to the surface, though. And we're going to engage that in this episode and in your reflection. This is going to be an episode where you're going to want to take notes. You're going to want to sit down and be active while you do this if you can. So everything's going to come to the surface and we are going to work through what worked, what didn't work, what are we still carrying, what are we afraid to name that we didn't love in 2025, and what are our goals, and what does the Lord want to do in our lives in 2026. And I just want to reiterate that today's episode is not just about setting a million goals or reinventing yourself completely for 2026. It's actually about giving you the space to slow down enough to ask the good questions that is going to really make a difference for the way you live your life in 2026. What do I want to carry into the next year? And what do I actually need to leave behind? So today I'm going to walk you through the exact blueprint that Trey and I just used to plan a new year in a way that actually supports all areas of my life, my faith, my marriage, my home, my mental health, my physical health, etc. Okay, before we dive in, I need to share with you the materials we used to do this year because they totally changed the game for us. We usually just use like random notebooks or printer paper or whatever, and we end up with a million different sheets of paper. And Trey this year was like, let's get a huge roll of paper. So we went to Target and thank God they had it. It's just this giant, like 75 foot long roll of poster paper, essentially. And then we got colored markers and colored pens and got right to work. And this helped us just not have limiting factors when it came to space on our paper. We could write as much as we wanted or as little as we wanted. We could do a web or a list or a chart, like just do whatever we wanted. So I recommend that for you. And I have made a little LTK post where I linked all the different things that we used, all the materials, and I'll link that in the show notes. I also decided in 2026, we're going to go back to pen and paper because that has always helped me in the past. And I kind of let go of that a little bit in 2025. I tried to do things more digitally and stuff got dropped all over the place. So I literally bought a magnetic family like year calendar that's going to go on the side of our fridge. I bought a little like, again, a magnetic like notepad to plan out weekly meals and our grocery list, and then one for weekly chore responsibilities. And I know that just seeing it written down on paper every single day is going to help us so much to know what's coming, what are our responsibilities, what can we take off of our spouse's plate, etc. This has been helpful for us in the past. We've done this in years past, but I literally just scratched it in 2025 and that was just a dumb thing to do. This is really helpful. Wives, this is for you. As women, we hold so much in our brains and men don't have the same capacity. And a lot of the times, I know this because I've felt it and I've talked to my wife friends and mom friends that have felt it too. A lot of the times we feel like we hold everything in our husbands don't hold anything, right? And so we struggle because we're like, why am I doing everything? Why do I think of everything? Now, putting things on paper is a really helpful way to share what you're holding because they can't read our minds. And we can always ask them to grow in this area of holding more. And husbands will do their best to do so, but our brains are just wired differently. And this isn't, I don't think this is bad to like write out a list of everything you're holding and then ask for your spouse for support. Be like, this is everything that I'm holding. This is what is coming in our week or in our month or whatever. I can't do it all myself. How can we work together to do this? And by putting things on paper, it is so, so helpful. Okay. So anyways, if you want the link to any of those things, that any of those materials or those paper calendars and chore planners and weekly meal planners, everything, that's all linked in the show notes. So if you just want an easy button, just buy, add to cart, and just have that shipped to your house so that you have all the materials you need to get started, go ahead and do that. So the very first thing we did was a full brain dump. On the page, we just started out by writing down everything that was on our brain, tasks, worries, ideas, goals, random thoughts that we had, projects that were in the back of our minds, to-dos. I didn't organize it. I didn't judge it. We didn't have a filter list. We literally just got it all out of our head because you can't discern clearly when your mind is full of a bunch of different little things or when you're holding a lot in the back of your brain. That takes up energy and space. And we wanted to make sure we got everything out on paper so that then while we did our planning, we could go back to that brain dump list and see if we were missing anything or if any of those topics tied into our conversation. Next, we made what we call our heavy list. This is something that I saw on Instagram this year, a post that somebody did. They said that it was so important to make a heavy list. And this isn't something that we necessarily had done in the past. We had talked about it and verbalized it, but we never had, I think, like really written it down in this way. And I loved it. So what is a heavy list? You basically ask yourself, what weighed me down this year? What felt consistently stressful? What made life harder than it needed to be? Are there people in my life that are not adding to my life or holding me back or pulling me away from the Lord or from my family in any way? Are there any projects that are truly just draining? This list is going to look different for everybody. It might include overpacked schedules and overcommitting to too many projects, maybe unresolved tension in relationships, maybe unrealistic expectations you had set on yourself, or even habits that slowly began to drain you and hold you back from being the person that you actually wanted to be. So this step is about brutal honesty. It's not about blame or shame. We're going to set aside all our feelings towards all of these things, and we're just going to be honest and write them down because that's what's important. You need to write them down honestly. Then we did a little solution list. So basically, we wrote down what's weighing us down in one color. I chose dark purple. And then in bright green, I drew arrows from every single one of those heavy items and wrote down something that would help fix that or remove it or solve it in some way. So I basically just look at each of those heavy things and I ask a very practical question. Is there a solution here? Sometimes the solution is going to look like cutting it out completely. Sometimes it's adding a boundary. Sometimes it's creating a system that didn't exist before that's going to help that area of life. And this is where I remind myself that not everything needs more effort. Some things just need to be cut out. and honestly just removed from our life. Now, this step could be a little bit overwhelming depending on how many things you have in your heavy list. Trying to find a solution for all of them can make you feel like I have to do all of these things. Like I said, don't attach emotions to this process just yet. Just write down honestly what's coming to mind without a filter. Later on, you're going to go through this heavy list and these solutions and kind of reflect on if you're able to bring these into your day-to-day, if you're able to actually solve these and do the work that's needed to remove these heavy lists items from your life. So let me just give you two examples just so that you kind of really understand the concept. Two things on my heavy list could be, one could be sleeping in, and another one could be overpacked schedule or overcommitted extracurriculars. What are the two solutions to these things? For overcommitted extracurriculars, most likely the solution is going to be to cut some of them out. It's not necessarily to put in more effort so you can do them all well. It's actually going to be to discern which of these can I take into 2026 and which of these do I have to say no to this year for the well-being and peace of my personal life and family life. For sleeping in, you need to find a solution to that, right? What is the solution? You can't cut out sleep, right? We can't just work through the night. So that's not realistic. So what we need to do is set a new habit. Okay, we're going to wake up 30 minutes earlier or an hour earlier. So those are examples of when a heavy list item can have a solution or you tweak a habit to improve that heavy list item versus a heavy list item that needs to just basically be completely cut out. Okay, moving on. The next step is dream without editing. Okay. So after our heavy list, after we come up with solutions, then we dreamt. We wrote down our dreams and our goals for 2026 without filtering them. No minimizing, no saying that's unrealistic or we don't have the money for that or we don't have the time or that's not something that can happen until we're XYZ age. No, no, no. No explaining, no shooting yourself in the foot, no bringing yourself down. Just dream big. And ask the Lord, like, what could you possibly do for us this year? What are you calling us to do? What are our hopes and dreams? Where do we see our family or our work or our business or our children? And just write it all down and dream big. And in this, asking ourselves, what do I want? What do I hope for? What feels exciting or meaningful to our lives? I've learned that God isn't threatened by our desires. He doesn't see what we desire in our life and then come in and cut us down and say, nope, that's actually not what I want for you. He meets us in them and he always answers our prayers. Some of our prayers, the answer will be no, but it's because he has something better for us. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that God is ever working against us. He just has a better plan for us. But most of these deep-seated desires that we have in our heart, the Lord is putting on our hearts and wants them to come to fruition in our life. So some examples of like goals and dreams that we had for our life that we just put on the list, right? And that weren't necessarily like promising that were going to happen, but things that were coming to mind, okay? It was like, we have been wanting to take a safari trip in Africa and we're like, okay, maybe this is the year we do it. So we write it down. Dream vacation, safari trip in Africa. We have a sales goal that we want to meet for our business. So we write down, okay, meet this revenue in 2026. We have a goal for our marriage where we want to read at least one marriage book a year. It might seem low, but we're not big readers. So that's a big goal for us, right? We write that down. I want to grow on social media and invest more time in making content. So I want to reach X amount of followers by the end of the year or post X amount of times throughout the year. All of these are examples of different goals that you can be writing down to different scales, right? They don't all have to be wildly huge goals. They don't all have to be small, attainable goals.
So as you know from listening to this podcast, I am passionate about living your faith out in the everyday, which is why when I was in college, I started West Coast Catholic, which is a Catholic lifestyle brand with a mission to help you experience a foretaste of heaven through modern, intentionally designed lifestyle products and prayer tools. Because the thing is, I really believe that infusing the faith into everyday items that we just use every day or that we're surrounded with in our home can help remind us of and draw us back into communion with God. So in the shop, you'll find everything from rosaries to home goods, apparel, jewelry, devotionals, and more. And everything's designed to help inspire and equip you to pursue a faith-filled life by bringing an essence of heaven into your everyday. So head on over to our website at westcoastcatholic.co and follow along on Instagram at westcoastcatholic.
Next, what you're going to do is start defining your family pillars or your personal life pillars. These are the foundations that everything else in your life sits on. And these honestly are what are going to make or break your 2026. So for us, we talk about spiritual life, physical health, marriage, home life, work, and personal growth. Those are six different categories that we wrote down. And for every single one of those, we asked ourselves, what do I want my everyday life to look like in these areas? Or what are the weekly habits that I want to have in each of these areas so I can be healthy and thrive in each of these areas? And we get specific with it, okay? So it's not about like having a better relationship with God under spiritual life. No. It's 30 minutes of daily prayer and a daily rosary in the evenings. That's how specific we get, because those daily habits are what's going to give you the intangible result of better relationship with Jesus. Does that make sense? Examples of other things you can do are weekly or monthly date nights or bi-monthly date nights or evening phone boundaries and screen time. Getting really specific on what are the habits that are going to help you thrive in these areas of life is what you're going to write down in each of these areas. And again, don't filter it. Don't be like, I can't do all these at the same time. If I actually wanted to thrive in each of these pillars of life, what would I actually have to do to get there? And then these ideals become your priorities. This is what begins to order your day-to-day, your week, and your month. Which leads us to the next step, where we took a yearly calendar and began to write down all of our known commitments, like set travels we already had, events that we have to attend to, and different responsibilities that we know are not going away in 2026. Then we go back to our goals list and we ask, which ones of these actually align with my new pillars that I set and these habits that I set? Let me just give you kind of an extreme example so that we like grasp the understanding here. If under my goals, I had travel to a safari in Africa, go to Europe, Christmas in New York, and I also had double the growth in my business and host a monthly dinner party and continue to lead a Bible study and lead a monthly marriage group and read a marriage book a month for the year of 2026. If I had all of those and my daily pillars were to get 30 minutes a day of prayer, to go to daily mass 3 times a week, to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same time every day and not have it be a stressful experience to scramble to get food in my body, to have meals planned on by the end of the weekend for the coming week every week, to work out 4 to 5 times a week, to go to bed at a reasonable hour, to have boundaries around our work hours. In my mind, those two things cannot coexist, right? All of these dreams and all of these daily ideals can't coexist in the same year. So this is where you start to get realistic, okay? This is now where you look at your goals and you look at your daily pillars. And in my opinion, your daily pillars, right? They are the pillars. They are the foundations that you build your goals on. So you're not going to arrange your life around a goal. You're going to arrange your life around the pillars and see where those goals fit into your pillars. And some won't align for this coming year, because this coming year, you might be working on some specific habits that are really going to strengthen some really foundational pillars like physical health and mental health or spiritual health and family or marriage health, right? Like those are foundational pillars that maybe you're going to focus on. And so some of these big goals aren't going to align this year. That doesn't mean this goal is never going to happen or that you just need to throw it away. Just keep it on your goal list and revisit for the next year to see if it fits in, right? But this is where we get really specific with our pillars, and then we start putting them on the calendar. Those goals get assigned to seasons, because not everything belongs in January, and it is so unrealistic to think that we're going to meet all of our goals in the beginning of the year in January. So we literally take the calendar year and we start to assign dates to different goals. For us, this looks like setting dates for certain travel and when it would fit within our year. product releases for West Coast Catholic, right? Because that's like a huge part of our life. Personal family financial goals of by what date in the year do we want to have X amount in savings or X amount in investings, or home projects, by what date do we want to have X home project finished or started? And by actually setting dates to each one of these goals, you are actually setting yourself up to be able to meet them, because now you have a vision for the year. And when we have a vision for the year, we're able to decisions about our daily, weekly, monthly life to actually work toward that vision versus just letting life happen to us and let time go by and then getting to July and being like, oh wow, we're halfway through the year and we've done nothing, or like we didn't accomplish anything we actually thought we would this year. So actually assign dates to those goals and put those goals on your calendar. Now we get even more granular, right? So we went from really big to a little bit more concrete to monthly, and now we're going to get to weekly. So now is where we build our weekly schedule. This is basically a day-to-day hourly schedule that is an ideal. It's not something that we like commit to every single day of our lives. Life changes and there are different seasons, but this is our ideal daily schedule that if we committed to this most days, we would probably be thriving in each of those life pillars, and we're setting aside time to work towards our goals. And so we'd probably reach a lot of those goals as well. So we map out our mornings and our evenings first, because your evening schedule dictates your morning schedule. Like your morning routine literally starts the night before, because if you have a crappy evening routine, you're not going to be able to wake up feeling well and energetic and ready to take on the morning, right? So we map out our morning and evening schedule first and write down what time do we want to have dinner? What happens after dinner? Are there any habits we want to commit to it, like at night before bed? And then what time do we want to go to bed? And then that allows us to see, okay, we want 8 hours of sleep. What time are we getting up in the morning? Right? If you have a commitment in the morning, you have to be at, like, you have to start work at a certain time, or you have to take your kids to school at a certain time, or you are going to daily mass at a certain time, or you have a workout class that you have to get to. That's also going to play a factor here. If you know my workout class starts at 6:30, or I have to take my kids to school at 7 a.m., well, that's probably going to dictate what time you're going to wake up, right? And so they're both going to kind of inform each other. But basically decide what time you're going to wake up, and any morning commitments that are happening that are already set that you can't necessarily move. And then after that, you put in prayer and personal care. And you schedule that in your day before work. It doesn't mean that both of those have to happen before work. Sorry, and by personal care, I meant like physical health, like working out, movement, going on a walk, weights, whatever it is that you want to do to take care of your physical health. Schedule prayer and physical health in before you schedule other things in. And what I was trying to say is, obviously, for a lot of us, work can't be moved. You have set work hours. So you write those in, and it doesn't mean that both of those have to happen before work, but you schedule them in before you schedule out Bible study or time to work on a hobby or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So for us, we're going to wake up and first thing in the morning is do our 30 minutes of prayer. This is going to happen every single day, essentially, on the days that we go to daily mass. And then on the days that we want to go to Eucharistic adoration, we won't do the daily prayer in the morning because we'll go straight to the adoration chapel. For you, it could look like getting up and doing a daily rosary as you're getting ready for work and packing a gym bag so that right after work, you can go to your workout class and make sure that you're taking care of your physical health as well. But the point is, to actually write it down, and you might think I'm crazy for writing an hour by hour schedule, but it literally has helped us so much to actually hold ourselves accountable, to grow in discipline, and to actually do the things we want to do. If you are not a planner or a type A person at all, I encourage you to at the very least write out an evening and morning routine, because those are those anchors in your day that basically dictate how your day goes. And like I always say, if it's not written on your schedule or in your calendar or in your planner, it won't happen. If you look at your schedule or your planner or your online calendar, whatever it is that you use to plan your life, what's written on there shows you what's most important in your life, because those are the things that you are telling yourself, I absolutely can't forget this and I can't miss this, so I'm going to write it down. If prayer isn't in that schedule, if working out isn't in that schedule, if time with your spouse or your family isn't in that schedule, if community time isn't in that schedule, those things are less likely to happen. So make sure that the most important ideals and habits of these pillars are written in your schedule or they will not happen. And that's how we do it. The very last step, which we do at the very beginning and at the very end, is pray. At the core of all of this life planning, you have to ask the Lord to guide you, because the Lord is in the driver's seat. We're not. And it's not about us having control over our life. It's about us being able to work with God and be good stewards of all the blessings that He's given us to live life to the fullest as He wants us to, right? John 10:10. I came to give you life, life to the full. So when we're done planning, we surrender it all back to Him and we ask Him to guide and lead us throughout our everyday. And we don't know what could happen in May. Maybe our whole life just like gets thrown upside down in May. And then all of a sudden our May through December goals are out the window. That's okay, because we've given it all to the Lord, right? So at the core, you have to be able to give it all to the Lord, trust in Him, and ask Him to guide and lead. Okay, now I just want to give a little caveat here at the end. If you are listening to this and you already feel behind or stressed or late, I want you to hear this clearly. You're not late. I'm not trying to stress you out. God's not rushing you. Your life doesn't need to look a certain way. It doesn't need to be impressive. It doesn't need to be compared to anybody else's. This tool is to help you give direction so that you have a path and a road to walk along throughout the year instead of just letting life pass you by and life happen to you. And like I said earlier, there's been so many times when Trey and I do this mid-January or end of January because we just didn't get to it. So it's not too late. You could literally do this in January. You could literally do this in February. There are 12 months of the year, okay? Don't just write it off if you didn't do it before January 1st. Please, please do this. And if you do, please share with me in a DM how it went for you, any questions you have, any ways that it blessed you. And before we wrap it up, one of the biggest questions I got online is, how do I get my husband on board? My husband doesn't care. My husband wouldn't do anything like this. How do I get him on board? I'm just going to share some thoughts that come to mind. I can't speak from experience. Trey loves to plan and goal set. So this isn't stuff that has worked in my own life, but it's just ideas that I have for you if you're having trouble getting your spouse on board, especially your husband. I think two things. One, make it fun. And two, find what motivates him and integrate that into this family meeting. So one, make it fun. We went to our favorite coffee shop, got some fun drinks, brought our paper and our pens, and literally stayed at the coffee shop for a couple hours. So getting out of the house, going to our favorite coffee shop already made it kind of fun and made it different and made it almost like a date, right? With motivation and finding something that motivates him, I think if, for example, he's really financially motivated and he's been wanting to set financial family goals, and maybe that's something you aren't as invested in, bring that into the conversation and lead with that and be like, I really want to talk about our family financial goals. And so I thought we would do some year planning and talk about finances as one of those aspects. If he's really motivated by, let's say he like loves his hobbies, loves to golf or watch football on Saturdays with his friends, and that's something that's gotten in the way of your marriage or something you've been frustrated about, maybe you lead with that and you say, hey, I really want us to set time apart for us to be able to do our hobbies and have friend time. But I think if we both get on the same page, we're able to do that more freely. Can we do some year planning and have that be one of the things that we talk about? So those are kind of my two pieces of advice. In the end, if none of that works, you might just have to have a real life conversation and be like, hey, we are adults. We need to be mature. We like need to have goals in our life, and I can't do it all by myself. This is a 100% marriage, right? Have you heard the phrase where it's like, it's not 50-50, it's 100-100? Have that talk and really call your spouse higher to meet you here and be able to dream and plan with you, because in a marriage, you have to be a team. And so you have to be on the same page. You have to work together. All right. That's all I have for you today. And I really hope that this episode gave you a framework that feels supportive and encouraging instead of heavy. And I really encourage you to share this with a friend. I have found that having an accountability partner is so helpful in meeting these goals and setting new habits. So send this to your bestie and be like, let's plan our year together. Let's encourage each other. What are your goals? Where can I support you? Because it's so fun to bring someone else into your life. Before we wrap up this episode, let's get into Everbee Answers. This is where I answer your questions and I answer one of them on the podcast and the other two on our after party, which is our after show available for our Patreon Kingdom Club community, which if you want to join and get in on the fun, you can click the link in our show notes to join our Kingdom Club. Okay, the question I'm going to answer here today is, could you speak on attending a Catholic college versus a non-religious college? College is a really vital and important time of life to build your faith and really make your religion your own, because this is the first time you are out of your house and now you have an opportunity to practice your faith without it being something that your parents made you do. And instead, it's a choice that you're making for yourself and for your life. So for me personally, it was very important to go to a Catholic college. But now looking back, knowing my experience at a Catholic college, other people's experience at a Catholic college, and then seeing different programs, Catholic programs at non-Catholic colleges, I have a slightly different opinion. So I think what's most important, if you are serious about your faith and want to grow in your faith and want to be surrounded by like-minded people and have faith-centered community, which I think is so important and truly makes a difference in your life. It truly, truly makes a difference in what your life looks like if you have a community like this in your life or not. So I think it's extremely vital for you to have that in your college experience. If you want that, you need to prioritize going to a college that has a strong, vibrant Catholic program and community. Not all Catholic colleges have this, unfortunately. And I loved my college experience. I loved Gonzaga. That's where I went. But unfortunately, my experience being there was that it didn't actually have a very vibrant or strong Catholic program. They had different Christian ministries, but when it came to being explicitly Catholic, the group was like very small, honestly. Like the number of people that went to daily mass were like maybe 7. Okay. And those were the same people that showed up to like all the Catholic events. So it didn't have a very strong Catholic community. And that came to me as a surprise as somebody who wanted to go to a Catholic college for the sake of Catholic community, right? I just didn't know better. And that unfortunately is the case. And I would say most, the grand majority of the Catholic colleges in the United States. There are few schools that either have a really strong Catholic program or that are truly Catholic, both in name and nature. And if I miss one, I'm really sorry. I don't know all of them, but what I know and have heard is that Benedictine is like a legit Catholic college with incredible community and many opportunities for you to grow in your Catholic faith. Franciscan Steubenville is another incredible, actually Catholic college where you will actually meet Catholic people. University of Mary in North Dakota, in Bismarck, is also legitly Catholic, incredible Catholic community, beautiful campus. Those are the ones I know for a fact. I'm pretty sure Ave Maria University also is. I have also heard good things about Catholic University of America, but I think I've also heard some people be like, not really anymore, super Catholic. So do your own discernment and talk to people that have actually gone there. And then you can start looking also at state schools that have really strong Catholic communities. And again, there might be way more of these than I actually know of. I just know these from experience of people that have gone there. University of Nebraska Lincoln has an incredible Newman Center, literally like 1,000 students go to Bible study and there's like 1,000 people at every mass. Texas A&M also has an incredible Newman Center community. I'm pretty sure there's, gosh, I forget which Kansas school, but there's one of the Kansas schools that also has an incredible Newman Center. So basically start looking at the Newman Center programs and what college campuses have focus missionaries on them. And likely they're creating community, they're creating opportunities for you to grow in your faith, for you to go on retreat, et cetera. So that's my advice. I think it's super, super important. But now you know kind of how to vet the school if they're actually Catholic or not, and if that's actually going to bring you Catholic community or not. Okay, I hope that was helpful. At the after party, I'll be answering, are you involved with any groups or ministries at your local parish? And do you have any tips for how to get more involved in meeting other like-minded young Catholics when you have a busy schedule, both in online and in person, but preferably in person? So if you want to catch the answer to those, we'll see you at the after party. And as always, thank you for being here. I'll talk to you soon. I hope you have an incredible 2026. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.